Amen. There is no one like our God. I feel like I should be coming up here with a guitar solo.
You should.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We got a guitar for you, Pastor.
Yeah. Good morning, beautiful people of God. Ooh. Did we all just wake up? Did I miss something? Were we not worshiping? Were we not raising our hands to the Lord? Were we not just praising God? Were we not just talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Good morning, beautiful people of God.
Good morning.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this time of worship, God. We thank you for this time that we have gathered together, unified in your name. We bless you, O Lord, and we pray that the way that we have gathered and in the manner in which we have gathered, how we have sung to you, how we have raised our hands to you, may it be pleasing in your sight. We bless your holy name. For you are worthy of all the praise. We are here, Lord God. We are here. Change our hearts. Open our minds. Lead and guide us as only you can. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen, amen, amen. First of all, I want to thank you for dubbing last week's sermon the I-65 parable. That has come across my desk. I want to thank you for sharing the advice of always using my GPS, even if I'm just going to the grocery store. Everyone's like, yeah, you probably should. And I want to thank you for the many offers to join me on my next road trip. Believe me, there is so much more hilarity to the story that I shared last week, and there will be more details to come, so stay tuned. Last week, God invited us to witness through error, through sin, through despair, through our busyness, that even when we veer off path, God will always provide a way forward in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I experienced a grace-filled space for us to laugh, to be authentic, to speak truth. And from the email text messages I received, to acknowledge that many of us are overwhelmed. We are tired of the hate. We are tired of the racism. We are tired of the chaos, tired of the isolation, the sickness, the hurting, the schisms, the grieving, the homelessness, the hopelessness, the evil, and the poverty. And as one person writes, it seems like an endless list. And then she adds, but God. But God. Beautiful people, if we cannot name nor acknowledge sin and this squeamish list in church underscored by hope, faith, and love, then we may be in the wrong place. We should be able to name those things that weigh heavily on our hearts and to make us better people in the name of Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? Joy. Joy comes in the morning. Today we witness 1 John shower us with the ultimate compliment. And maybe you're hearing this for the very first time, that it is through God's love, which encompasses grace, forgiveness, reconciliation, transformation, faith, and so much more, that you are each called children of God. This epistle, this first letter, is written for a new generation of believers. And it serves as a summary of two themes that run throughout the Gospel of John. First, we should believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know this from John 3:16. And second, we should love one another as Christ loves us. That's also in the Gospel of John. The foundation of this belief and love is based upon Jesus' own decision as the Son of God to lay down his life for us, for humanity, and whom we have thought about all week. Remember that list, the tired, the weak, the impoverished, the sick, the isolated, the hopeless, the ones with evil hearts, and even for the chaos, Jesus laid down his life for all of those and all of God's people. John is writing to this new generation, and several times within this passage, he utilizes the phrase, "This is how we know." This phrase is broken up into three different places throughout this passage, and I had every intention of preaching all of 16 through 24. But I do know that we will miss so much in this one setting, and this passage will not receive the justice it deserves. So I invite you to look at verse 16 and 17 today, and the other two passages over the next 2 weeks. I am changing it up. God is doing a new thing. Are you with me? This phrase, "This is how we know," is broken up, and it captures the concreteness of everyday life. It captures the tangible way, the explicit and substantial way that love is made known through the self-sacrifice of God's Son. 1 John 16 says, "This is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." In all honesty, beautiful people of God, we are not the Justice League. We are not all the superheroes of our time, laying down our life like Jesus laid down his life. As we look at this passage, it seems impossible, as if we are required to intentionally enter into the danger zone with physical, heroic acts of self-sacrifice or setting out to become a martyr. But when we witness verse 16 and 17 connected, we experience the tone of the passage. Verse 17 says, "But if someone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but refuses to help, how can the love of God dwell in a person like that?" Wow. Let me say that one more time. Slower. "But if someone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but refuses to help, how can the love of God dwell in a person like that?" Saints, remember this letter is to a community of faith much like our own, a community which includes a lot of new and young believers. See, first and foremost, laying down one's life is not about having a savior complex or becoming a national hero. It is the word but, B-U-T, that draws us near and captures the concreteness of the everyday life. This is how we know love. To be like Jesus every day. To go beyond showing up on Sunday morning. To experience the laying down, the sharing of your life, your voice, your words, your hands, your feet, your kitchen table, your car, your promise, your yard or patio to serve your brother and sister in need. We can't leave out your time. See, we experience generosity when we give generously in return. We lay down our lives by supporting the ministries of the church daily and concretely. We lay down our lives by coming together to help the community, the marginalized and the spiritually bankrupt, to know God. This is how you know love. After all, the text then says, how can the love of God dwell in a person who refuses to help? How can the love of God dwell in a person who refuses to help? We are invited this day into a risk-filled faithfulness, a faithfulness that guides us, me and you, in our church, into this new exodus, this new season to love like God. A risk-filled faithfulness is a love based on gratitude, acknowledging that we are loved, that we are forgiven by Jesus Christ. A risk-filled faithfulness means the soul will never be at a loss as to how to express love through every word we say, every thought we have, and every deed that we do. A risk-filled faithfulness declares racism and God's love cannot coexist. Gossip and God's love cannot coexist. Hate and God's love cannot coexist. Evil and God's love cannot coexist. You are who you are in Christ, and that informs how you do what you do in love. A risk-filled faithfulness. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 frames our risk filled faithfulness that we are being called into in this season. Do you know? Have you not heard? Says verse 28. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men and women stumble and fall. We talked about that in the I-65 parable. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not This is how we know love. Are you with me? Beautiful people, we are in mission with one another. Mission with the community. In and through Jesus Christ. We will run and not grow faint. We will work to end the atrocities and the isms, to be present in the pain, to get our hands dirty. This is how we love. Love is complicated, but love is good. See, where love is genuine, it has to be shown. Not with words, but with the reality and daily acts of our life. Love is not the law, but gospel. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. So this season as the church, we will not become busier. We will not add a gazillion more events and programs, but instead, we will be intent to love like God. It is risky to love like God. This means the love is self-sacrificing. It is action-oriented, it is compassionate, it is generous, and it is transformational. The risk-filled faithfulness means we may never see the outcome. We may never hear a thank you. People will leave, people will come, people will stay. And all the world will hear Cokesbury loves. It is because we promise, we vow, we decide to lay down, to share our lives, our words, our narratives, our money, our time with those in need while we grow in our faith, deeply impacting our community and one another. This is how we love. This love was first shown to us by the Good Shepherd, the one who restores our soul, the one who knows our hearts and laid down his life for us. And ultimately, this is how we love, by being a salad bowl and not a melting pot. By gathering together to build deeper, faithful relationships. By acknowledging the gift of holy chaos and God's active creativity through us. We are a missional church, outwardly focused, while inwardly growing in obedience to God. We show our love by turning complaints into opportunities to be difference makers in our community, to strengthen our faith, and to be open in our hospitality. This is how we love. Love is not political. Love is kind. Love does not boast. Love is the gospel. It is written. It is not me. This is why it is necessary for all of God's children to release the good news into the world, to share this love. Because when God rescued us, when God saved us and indwells in us, we are transformed like new wine in new wine skins. We don't need another program or another event. We just need for each one of you to step up and step out in love and to serve the programs and the events that we do have. So today I ask you, just as I ask God, how can we be love out there in the parking lot, at the park, in the grocery store, at the schools, in the shelters, in the airport, at the mall, in our neighborhoods, and even in our own homes? How can we be love out on the streets of Ninth Avenue and even by Graffiti Bridge? How can we be love? This is how we know love. Because where there is true love, Cokesbury, uninhibited celebration of God exists, and God's power connects us to one another and the world. It is because of love. It is because of love that we serve in spirit and in truth, authentic in our ways. Because this is not only how we know love, this is how we know hope. So as I said in the beginning, when I read the scripture, this is how we know love. Because Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down, share, walk, journey, and help our brothers and our sisters. So let's not love with words. Let's love with action. Let's love with compassion. Let's not love with more programs and events. Let's love one another and show love to our world. This is how we know love. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have shown us, you have told us, you've shared with us how we know love. May we take that love and show the world. For you laid down your life for us. And that's the least that we can do for you. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen.